when a mother eagle builds a nest on top of a really tall tree or on the top of some craggy cliff, she uses some materials that you don't think of as nest-building materials. She'll get really sharp sticks. She'll get thorns. She'll get burrs. She'll get sharp rocks, and she'll form her nest out of these things. But then she lines the nest with wool and feathers and animal skins that she's killed to make a really soft nest for the eggs. Well, when the growing birds reach flying age, you know, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals every day kind of makes them reluctant to get out of the nest. So that's when the mother eagle stirs up the nest a little. She takes her talons and she gets down in there, and she's little by little she starts pulling away the wool and the feathers, which leaves the sharp objects underneath. Well, the birds get a little uncomfortable, and then they get a little more uncomfortable until they finally reluctantly leave their nest and move on to more mature behaviors for eagles. Well, today I'd kind of like to prick us a little bit. I wish God had developed some methods to help us mature a little bit, but maybe he has, but we want to talk about it a little bit today. Too often, I think we enjoy the comfort and luxury of our fellowship, and we don't always grow up spiritually. You know, we come to church on Sabbath, and we listen to the Sabbath school discussion and the nice music and a little sermon, and then we go home, and then we probably or often don't think about God throughout the week until the next Sabbath. So it kind of makes us hard to mature spiritually. We keep drinking milk, but we're not eating solid food. Apparently, this isn't a new problem. If you take your Bibles, if you turn to Hebrews 5, Paul talks about it way back in the early church. If you turn to Hebrews 5 and then look at verse 12. And Paul's talking to the Hebrews, and he says in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." These were Hebrews he's talking about, and these were people who should be well-versed in the gospel and Jesus. Many of them were teachers of the law, but he says that you need someone to teach you again all the principles. 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice it says that they've had their senses exercised in order to mature. And I think that's part of our problem, is that sometimes we don't have our senses exercised in order to discern good and evil. Paul was longing to teach the Jews a much deeper spiritual truths, but the members weren't able to handle it because they were still babes. They'd still in the nest. They're still being fed every day. And they still required milk instead of solid food. And I'm wondering if this has a lot to do with turmoil that we find in the church sometimes. Now, is it wrong to be a baby? No, we all started as babies. They're cute and huggable and lovable for the most part. It's the other part that I don't like. However, if someone still acts like a baby after they're grown up, we kind of look at them differently. You know, it's very natural to see a baby sucking a bottle, but if you see a grown man with a beard sucking a bottle, you think different things. Now, is it wrong to be a spiritual baby? No, we all have to start somewhere too. But newborn babies are expected to continue to grow, just like we went from a baby to a toddler to a kid and a teenager, and eventually we hope an adult. But I want to look at a few of what does a spiritual milk-drinking baby look like. Well, number one, they have to be constantly fed. You see, babies don't have developed digestive tracts, so you have to give them a little milk every couple hours, just a little bit at a time. It's astonishing how many people in churches require this. Instead of being spiritually strong men and women, they're babes and they have to be cared for. So what happens is the church turns into a nursery instead of a workshop. You know, Christians love to hear you preach or teach just as long as is it too long. And they love their spiritual food fed to them a few bites at a time, just like the eagle feeds the young. They can't handle it when you attempt to give them an extra bit of spiritual meat from God's word. Short sermons, sermonettes, devotionals. But they don't want to hear anything from the Bible for like an hour. Sometimes we can blame this on the speaker, and I've sat through plenty of those. But I think more often it's due to the maturity of the listeners. I've heard someone say that sermonettes develop Christianettes. Somehow that doesn't sound like a spiritually solid man or woman of God. Another thing, spiritual babies make work instead of doing work. They make others work for them. The difference between a child and a man is the man works, the child makes work for others. And I'm afraid some of our churches are full of babies. They don't help, but they often hinder. Many haven't learned to walk, but they've sure learned to talk. They whine, and the preacher spends his time cradle rocking instead of to keep him from whining instead of doing what he should. You know, babies love to laugh and giggle, play with toys. Looking at those who are spiritually immature, we see a vast majority of them like to serve God when it's convenient and comfortable. They're looking for fun things, but they don't want anything to do with what sounds like really hard work or commitment. They're always around, always in the middle of everything, ready to give their opinion. But if there's an actual need for manual labor, they kind of just fade into the woodwork until the work is done. I think these spiritually mature people haven't learned that it takes working by the sweat of your brow to accomplish anything worthwhile. Nothing is ever free. For with every good work, there's hard work attached. But, you know, it's the work that actually brings the accomplishment. It's like if you get a trophy for winning a race or doing something, there's a lot more satisfaction than if someone just walks up to you and hands you a trophy. You know, that doesn't mean anything. But if you've worked for it and earned it, it means a lot. Another thing babies do that I have a really hard time with is that they cry. And John, when he was, for the first 2 years of his life, that's my son, he cried virtually nonstop for 2 years. And he was colicky, so we tried to do different things, but it just took time, I guess. But there's something about a baby's cry that just sets your nerves on edge, and at least for me, I just wanted to throttle him, you know, so that he'd shut up. It's a good thing I didn't do it, actually, and he's alive and well, but I sure wanted to. It's not also the crying, it's that you have no idea why they're crying. Are they crying because they're hungry or poopy diaper or they have a rash or they just are bored? Or you have no idea. You just have to guess at why they're crying. Well, I get upset and angry because I can't read their baby's mind, you know, and I can't tell what's making them cry, so I don't babysit. But it sounds like Christians I've met through the years, their mouths are constantly going, making noise, but, you know, nothing ever matters. I've seen some people, and I know you have too, that they turn away from God because they got upset at something that happened in the church, and they left, and they walk away, but they never let anybody know what's bothering them or hurting them. They just leave. And there's many people who claim to be a Christian who tend to make mountains out of molehills if it makes them look better or feel better. And you ask them what's wrong, they'll say, oh, nothing, nothing's wrong. And then the next thing you know, they aren't in church anymore and they won't even talk to you. I've observed babies just a little bit, and I've noticed that they learn very quickly how to manipulate people to get what they want. I know it sounds crazy, this little bit of human being, but they sure have it in them. They don't communicate with words, but they have sounds and gestures and movements and things that you get the idea. Have you ever seen people in the church act that way? Go around pointing fingers, complaining about something. Music isn't right. The preaching's too boring. Sermon's too long, too short. Sound is terrible. You get the idea. I think there's constant turmoil in their own families and within the church family. And you try to help. Nothing satisfies them. If you ignore them, they only get louder. You try and get them to explain what's wrong, and they either refuse or they can't do it. And then you got to start the guessing game to figure out what's wrong. Babies and kids are always raising a big stink. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I've seen Christians that are immature that start divisions within congregations and sometimes even to the destruction of the entire church. They love to start a fight and they won't stop until there's nothing left or till they get their own way at all costs. And there's many churches who've closed their doors because of that. Babies have very short attention spans. Most of the time, they have to have a new toy to keep their interest up so they won't get too bored. There are people in the church just like that. You give them a job, and they tire of it. You give them another job, they tire of that. The pattern continues until there's nothing left to offer they can handle, and then they complain that you won't give them anything to do. Remember, nothing worthwhile is ever easy or free. It always costs something. It may not be you, it'll cost somebody something. We're getting near the end here. Babies sleep a lot. Many immature people in church are spiritual asleep and sometimes physically. They're present in church, but their minds are miles away, and you look into their eyes and you can tell no one's home. They grasp little what is said, and they often miss out on everything because they aren't paying any attention. I think when Jesus comes again, some of these sleepy saints are going to be asleep and not going to make it home. Another mark of a baby is they have no understanding of anything above their own needs and wants. They don't care about the big picture of the church's ministry. What's the church as a whole trying to do? All they want is their own little way, regardless of if it hinders that dream and vision or not. They don't want to attend any function that they haven't planned. They won't agree with anything that's not according to their likes and dislikes. But let me tell you, a spiritual person is far more concerned about the condition of the church and its people than about doing things their own way. And I think we all can see that. Babies can't handle solid foods because their digestive system isn't ready for it. So until we've exercised our heart and mind and built that relationship with Jesus, we're never going to be able to handle the deeper teachings of God. Spiritually immature people dwell only on the surface. They never dive deep into the Word. So they'll never be able to develop that genuine hunger for its hidden, you know, nuggets and wisdom that you can dig out. You can't get off into a deep Bible study with these kind of people. Your breath is wasted because it just goes right over their heads. But isn't it time we start growing up and learning some of the more weighty matters of the Word? What about salvation? I mean, really getting a handle on it. What about sanctification? How does that work into someone's life? And what part does the Holy Spirit play in you and us as a church? And, you know, what deeper meanings are there in Jesus' parables that might apply to me personally? You know, really deep things that you wrestle with, and it's not real crystal clear and cut and dried, but it matures you in the Word. And I think that's the kind of things that we need to be grappling and wrestling with instead of, you know, good as it is, instead of just David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and things like that. A man once visited a home and he saw a child rocking away on a rocking horse. And after looking at him for 5 or 10 minutes, he says, "You know, that reminds me of some Christians. Plenty of motion, but no progress." I think sometimes we get so busy doing church, rocking away, but there's really no forward progress in maturity. You've probably heard of a Russian comic, Yakov Smirnoff. When he first came to America, he went into a grocery store and he was overwhelmed by all the instant foods available. He said, "The first time I went in here, I saw a powder, and you add water and mix it up and it becomes milk. And then over here I saw orange juice as a powder, and you add water and it becomes orange juice. And over here I saw baby powder, and I thought, what a country." Wouldn't it be great if childbirth was that easy? Not really, I think, because we might have a lot more babies than we know what to do with. But wouldn't you love to be able to mature spiritually by just pouring some certain powder or anything, mixing water, and voila, we're spiritually mature. But sadly, it doesn't work that way. It takes plenty of hard work. Well, we've heard a lot about babies and their limitations, but so how do we get into this maturity? Number one, we must be Christ-minded. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus was a man of prayer and study and fellowship. So how can we become Christ-minded? That sounds really good, but how do you actually do it? And if you've ignored everything I've said so far, and after this, you can shut me out. But this is the take-home. We've got to spend time in the Word. This is the only way that we can mature spiritually. We need to meditate on it, study it, memorize it, pray over it. Whatever it takes is to get into the Word. You know, there's so many countries of the world that do not even have this Bible in their own language. They have to learn another language in order to read it. We have advantage that Paul's people that he's talking about here in Hebrews, they didn't have the complete Bible, And probably the only scrolls that they had were in the synagogue. But yet, how many of us have this book on our shelves and never open it? You know, someday we're going to have these taken away. And whatever we've stored in our minds is all that's going to be left to us. We can never spiritually mature without filling our minds with God. The Bible develops in us deep spiritual roots. Once we have those firm roots, we can take whatever comes to us, because without roots, we can't mature. One good way is if you want to get into a little deeper Bible study, is come Wednesday nights when we're going through the book of Genesis, and we're examining. We're not going real deep, but we're going deeper than most of the time we do. Or have your own Bible study in the comfort of your home. But however you do it, get into the Word. You plant a tree, what happens? It grows. You plant a post, what happens? It starts to decay. The only difference between a tree and a post is one's got roots. We can never have roots without this. Number two, you got to exercise what you know. You got to put your faith in action. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." How are we supposed to seek him? Diligently. That means wrestling, getting into it, studying it, thinking about it, praying about it. A Christian writer named Mrs. White says, "Humble, simple-minded, trusting souls may do a work which will cause rejoicing in heaven among the angels of God. Their work at home, in their neighborhood, and in the church will be in its result as far-reaching as eternity. It is because this work is not done that the experience of young converts never reaches beyond the ABCs and divine things. They're always babes, always needing to be fed upon milk, and never able to partake of true gospel meat. Why? Because they've never exercised their faith. They've never put their faith into action. And number three, and you might argue with me, but I got 10,000 saints that'll say I'm right, is that you can never mature without trouble. Thousands are ready to testify their periods of most rapid and unmistakable spiritual growth have been their periods of trouble. If you look at the history of the Christian church, the time of its most rapid growth is usually the time when it had the most persecution. That's why they said the blood of the martyrs is kind of the fertilizer for the seed of the new church. Winter accomplishes more than summer for the soul's development and advance. And I don't know, if you like me, but I don't like trouble. And usually I think I'm pretty good without it. And when it does come, I have a tendency to say, "Lord, why are you bringing this on me?" But if I was spiritually mature, I'd say, "Well, Lord, what are you trying to grow me?" Instead of complaining about, "Why are you doing this to me? Why not do this to me?" God's going to say, "I want you to grow in this area." But it's hard. It takes sweat. It takes blood. E. Prentice says, "God never places us in any position where we cannot grow." That's a promise. When we are not sending branches up, we may be sending roots down. When everything seems like a failure, we may be making the best kind of progress. So don't think that you're failing just because it doesn't seem like you're growing. You're putting down roots into God's Word. And then suddenly, when spring comes, you'll put out fruit. Trouble matures us like nothing else will. If we submit to the pricks and pokes caused by God yanking out our soft fur in cotton and feathers that's cradling our nest. And please remember, we all mature at different rates. Not all babies are weaned at the same time. Some need to stay on milk longer. And it really doesn't help a struggling baby to cram a bunch of solid food down his throat. That's not how you wean a baby. And that's not how we grow spiritually people, too. You can't just cram a bunch of biblical meat down their throat and expect them to grow. It's a gradual process, just as vegetables and fruits grow and mature at different rates and different weather seasons and different weather. Here's my analysis of Chatsworth Church, tongue-in-cheek. There are 100 members in the church. 50 are frail and elderly, so that leaves 50 to do the work. 5 are young people at college, so that leaves 45 to do the work. 15 are tired businessmen, so that leaves 30 to do the work. 15 are housewives and children, so that leaves another 15 to do the work. 10 have other important interests. That leaves 5 to do the work. 2 live too far away to come regularly, so that leaves 3 to do all the work. And 1 says he's done his share, so that leaves you and me, and hey, I'm exhausted. Good luck to you. That's tongue-in-cheek. Actually, we have a good church. And I'm amazed at how, when we have something like a vacation Bible school or whatever, that so many of the church will pitch in and help. But I do seriously think that we need to mature in the Word. I'll close with this thought. See, short and sweet. Milk always tastes good, but the Bible's solid food makes us strong. How's your diet? Are you drinking milk, or are you eating meat? Heavenly Father, we want to grow and mature in your Word. We want to grasp onto you so strongly that no matter what comes to us, we can spring back and continue on. It may bend us over a little bit, but we'll snap back. Bring us the trials and problems that you see fit for us. Continue to lead and hold us and guide us into that spiritual maturity that you strive for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.